my favorite store in Tyler to go to, and I've been thinking about it for a year now that I've been here with you guys and visiting your different establishments, and I just hands down is the Dollar General in Flint. It is the most chaotic and fascinating place to go. It doesn't feel as though anything is where it should be. Like Dollar General's always been the place where you can say, "Where's your jelly?" And they'll say, "Next to the garden gnomes." Like it's just always some like weird. But it's not because of that. I typically like Dollar General anyway because it just throws you a curveball. But for some reason, my interactions with the employees there have just been fantastic. Some of which I can't really tell you about from here. But but just the other day, I was second in line. The lady was there waiting on this first person. I just go for the leftovers, whatever we don't have at the moment. And so I go, we need it. Blocks of cheese I get from that place. Toilet paper. It's a hilarious combination. But I was second in line. And this lady, the employee was waiting on this woman. And I was standing there with my stuff. And then she gives her the receipt and she leaves and I step up. But as I'm stepping up, this woman just meanders off. And there's usually a pig there you can, like something you can squeeze. You know, it's not a bell. I like that too. And I just thought, well, how fascinating. She's just walking around. She was looking down some of the aisles and then she walked back. She was kind of looking, and she walked back to the cash register and looked up and saw me and went, "God!" I'd been there for so long, but I thought, we'll just see what happens. She said, "You scared me." And I said, "I'm very sneaky." And the reason I love that place is I don't know what's going to happen. I walk in there with such a sense of wonder. I'm just enjoying it. And that's always the place. I whenever we lived in a small town, I would go to Walmart on purpose and just walk around and catch people. Because you know you're going to see people at Walmart, and they're usually frustrated, and they just need somebody to bring them joy in that place. And I can do that. So I'd walk around and I'd see people and talk to them, mess with them. And the market, the place where you're, and it all boils down to this. I don't go there because they have aisles of stuff. I go there because there's people. And people, while as an introvert exhausting, are fascinating. People you haven't seen in a while and you get to interact. That's why Rachel will go to Canton maybe 6, 7, 12 times a year. I go with her occasionally, but I really like I like just watching and interacting. And I don't like at Canton you walk at what I call wedding speed. Just so many people, but they're all so fascinating. There was a place in the first century that was like that for people, where they would go and they would see people they know, and they would interact and they would get the things they need. And it wasn't just about seeing what you need and buying what you need, but it was seeing the people in your life that you need. And it was the market. Dollar Generals didn't come around until the early 600s. So in the first century, they just had a market. And they would go into this market, and the sounds and the smells, it might not be good, but it's home. This is where the community does what the community does. But before you went into the market, you had to go through the gate. All who had went into the market had to go through the gate. And they had to offer a sacrifice, just an incense sacrifice. You had to light some incense and offer a sacrifice that Caesar is Lord. You had to pay homage to the beast. There is no secret as to who the beasts are in chapter 13 of Revelation. They are Caesars. But they could be anything. They could be any person that evil decides to give power to, and that power is used to hurt the world. So the dragon we met last week gives power and authority to the beast we meet this week. And the beast, we don't have to get out our coloring pages and try to figure out exactly what 666 means, which scholarly consensus is probably means Nero Caesar. Those letters add up to 666 in the Greek. It doesn't matter to you. But it's these beasts exercise authority on the world. In the name of power and chaos and death, they exercise authority on the world. And the Christians were struggling. Because they would go to the marketplace, they would walk through and they would realize, I can't claim Caesar is Lord when that's just frankly not true anymore. Caesar isn't Lord, Jesus is Lord. Caesar dies and stays dead. And while Caesar tried to kill my Lord, he got up from the grave. So I can't worship Caesar. But then again, I need bread. And one of the things they were wrestling with is, how do I function in a world where the systems of power and death and destruction and chaos rule, and the world wants me to pay homage to that to just get my basic needs met? How do I live in a world where Jesus is Lord of me, but Caesar is Lord of the market? You know, it's pretty simple. Just get a mark there. You offered your sacrifice. All without a mark could not get. And so that's where we get the mark of the beast. It's the mark of Caesar that allows you to just buy and sell. It's not just about also getting what you need. It's selling what you need. All of a sudden, Christians were not fitting into the cultural norms, and they were suffering because of it. A lot of persecution wasn't just Nero and Titus and Vespasian and Domitian walking into your house and slapping you because you're a Christian. It was local. It was, my neighbors won't sell me things because I won't claim Caesar as Lord. It was my community casting me out because I won't claim Caesar is Lord. That's what they were wrestling with. It wasn't just soldiers and officials. It was bakers and carpenters. And Caesar ruled them. So if you have to go to the marketplace and you have to offer a sacrifice to Caesar to say that Caesar is Lord, to get what you need and to sell what you need, but you just can't do that. John's saying this is not a time for compromise. This is not a time to play by the world's systems whenever it benefits us. Because the beasts are easily defeated by the king. There is no battle in Revelation in which God breaks a sweat. The dragon has been cast out of heaven. The beasts are not victorious. And we can get funny about Revelation because they're symbols, you know, mark of the beast. Is it a microchip? I don't think, hear me out, John had a microchip in mind. That first century man. I don't think he had every time there's an election, it's like, oh, that's the real beast. Like, oh, okay, yes. You don't do that whenever someone from Kazakhstan is elected. We're pretty ethnocentric about our crazy. It's not any of that. It's the big power structures that try to keep you afraid and demand your loyalty. Demand your allegiance. Those structures are serious, and they are seriously not Lord. We can get kind of panicky about the symbolism in Revelation and miss what it's pointing to the whole time. Have you ever been in a store and your receipt or your amount that you have to pay is $6.66? I know my Bible pretty well. Even I panic a little when that happens. I'm not just Googling Bible verses, and I panic when that... And you know what doesn't help is to just state out loud, I am not the devil. Because at first, they didn't think you were, and now they kind of do. He doth protest too much. Don't just say that. I've watched people... just grab what, you know, the impulse buys there? Walking up, just grab a People magazine or an eye patch and just set it on the counter and be like, well, let's just add this so that it goes, or let's just not, my receipt can't say 666. All the while, our bumper stickers bind us to the beast. And our radios preach its gospel. We've got to get our head and our ears and our mouth away from the language of the beast. We have got to stop saturating ourselves with the power structures of this world. Turning on our TVs around the table, letting our news stations tell us what we already believe. That Caesar is not Lord and does not deserve our attention. But the king who walked out of the grave, let's sing his praises. The God who does not break a sweat, let's raise our hands in worship to him. And know that that God, he wins. And what does it look like when the true king wins? We've got to answer that question because we know what it's like when the beast wins. We know what it's like when power structures win. We know what that's like. We see it. We see the division and the anger and the hatred that brings. What does it look like when Jesus is Lord? That's why today I'm not trying to talk you out of any opinions you have about anything that happens in the world and all those things. Have those, that's fine. But when we come in here, when Jesus reigns, those opinions do not rule. That we love people who are different from us, who have different ideologies than us, that think differently than us, that look differently than us, that live differently than us. We are a table with a lot of open chairs. And the kingdom is ruled by a king who defeated sin, death, and division. And that's the good news. That the lamb, the slaughtered lamb, even though the dragon gave power to the beast, and you know it's crazy, they talk about bringing fire down from heaven, mountains erupt in flames. Well, when stuff like that would happen, like say Vesuvius erupted in 79, around there, before Dollar Generals, when Vesuvius erupted, Caesar could just step in and go, "That was me. I prayed and that happened," and people would believe him. Vespasian was claimed to have suffered a head wound in the siege on Jerusalem and survived it, just like one of the beasts in this story. And they made him king because of it. Stories get overblown. Caesars make claims that they can't back up, but our Savior stands outside of the grave in front of the throne, and we know it to be true. We are ruled by a king who brings love and peace and grace and mercy and patience and kindness and joy into the world. The world needs to hear about that king. Not which beast we voted for. The world needs to hear about that community, not the chaos and that happens out there. God love them. But in here, different folks are all bowing down to the same king. The lamb who looks as though he was slaughtered but sits on the throne. Let's pray. Our Father, your place in heaven is certain. Your power in this world is for sure. And you are holy and we are not. You are all powerful. God, sometimes it just feels like we are too weak to be any good. but yet you use us. And we praise you because you use us to be your kingdom on this earth. To let your kingdom come here as it is in heaven. To let you reign here as you reign in heaven. God, give us what we need. When we are struggling to be your people, God, give us strength. Fill us with your goodness and mercy and love. And help us to go into a world and not just preach your kingdom, but be your kingdom. Fill us with your Spirit. Guide us where you want us to go. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.